the Lord. We're glad you're here this morning. Psalm chapter 113. Turn in your Bibles. Remain standing. Psalms 113. Starting at verse 1, Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being here this morning in service. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Oh, hallelujah. You are a good God. We thank you, Lord, for your word, principles you've given to us in the word of God. Ask you to help us and anoint us this morning to be able to speak the sound words, sound doctrine. We'll give you glory and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You notice verse 9 of my text, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. I want to talk to you a little bit about a joyful mother. The scriptures teach us that being a mother is a privilege. It's a blessing from God. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a gift from God. In the scriptures, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, were too old to have children. They had prayed in their youth for God to give them children, and God didn't give them children. And now they're too old to have children. And the angel Gabriel comes and tells Zacharias in the temple, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son. Told him what to name him. You call him John. Told him what kind of boy he was going to be. Said he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll never drink wine, strong drink. Well, that's a wonderful blessing. He'll never drink wine or strong drink. He's going to turn many of the children of Israel unto the Lord. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the disobedient unto the just. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And Zacharias went home, his wife conceived, and brought forth this son, John the Baptist. And after she conceived, she prayed, and she said, oh God, you have taken away my reproach. It was a reproach for a woman not to have a child among the Jewish people. And it was considered to be a blessing from God when they did have children. We sometimes get that mixed up in our day. And I want to tell you, the Bible has never changed in its principles and teachings about children. Children are not a curse. Children are a blessing from the Lord, a gift from God. And the Bible told us in the very beginning, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. When God wiped off that generation from the earth in Noah's day, and Noah and his family survived the flood, and he told them, after they come off of that ark, be fruitful and multiply. This was the will of God. It's still the will of God that men and women get married and bear children. This is the will of God. God blesses us with children. It is a judgment from God when women do not want children. That is a judgment upon any society when women cease to want children. A society will perish when women do not want children. And we are living in a society that increasingly do not want children. We are looking at a catastrophe in Europe right now because the European women do not want children. They want careers. They want money. They want the things that money can buy. They do not want children. So they are not producing enough children to sustain the population in Europe. So in order to keep their countries going, to provide workers for their countries, they're importing workers from Muslim countries. And these Muslims coming into these countries and taking the jobs because there's nobody being born there to take the jobs. These Muslims are becoming the dominant force in Europe. Christianity is dying and Islam is rising in Europe. And the mothers of the Muslim children are conquering Europe by having multitudes of children. And in America, the same thing is happening. We're just a little bit behind Europe. But our women no longer want children. That is a judgment from God upon any society that turns away from God. It's a judgment from God when animals are valued more than children are. And in our society, animals are valued many times more than children are valued. And so we kill our children and protect our animals. We give legal license to kill our children. And we take people to court when they kill their animals. So we value our animals more than we value our children. When people cannot have children, instead of adopting children, they get an animal. And the animal becomes a substitute for the children. And brother, I'm telling you, we are headed down this road faster than you realize. That animals are becoming more important to us than children. It is a judgment from God, brother, when animals become more valuable to us than children. It is a judgment from God when a society endorses same-sex marriage. Because same-sex people cannot produce children. It is not in the will of God. It is a judgment from God when the leader of this free nation can speak out and endorse same-sex marriage. We are under the judgment of God, brother. I'm telling you, we are under the judgment of God. This is a judgment from God when any society can endorse same-sex marriage. Children cannot be produced by same-sex marriage. It is an abomination in the sight of God. I got more to say on that later. But this is the blessing of the Lord. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. Did y'all hear this testimony this morning of Sister Peach? That the doctors had said she cannot have children. And they got married understanding there'd never be any children in their home. But God still answers prayer. And seven children later, I'm telling you, brother, God still answers prayer and makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. He did it for Isaac and Rebekah when Rebekah could not have children. Isaac went to prayer. God opened up her womb. I'm telling you, God still hears and answers prayer. And this testimony this morning is a verification of the scripture that I have read to you, that God maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. When Jacob married Rachel, he married Leah, her sister, first. And that was a trick of the father-in-law, Laban. He loved Rachel, married her, worked 14 years to get her. And when he married Rachel, she couldn't have children. Leah was bearing children. Rachel could not have children. And one day she came to Jacob and she said to Jacob, her husband, "Give me children or else I die. I've got to have children. Give me children." You notice that she didn't go to her husband and say, "Give me an education or I'll die. Or give me a career or I'll die. Or give me a bigger home or I'll die." She said, "Give me children." This was the ambition of this woman. Give me children. I say, God, get us back to that. Where mothers, women cry out, "I want children." This is the blessing of God upon a society. Children are a gift from God. Now, I'll tell you, young men, when you're looking for a girl, looking for a girlfriend, look for a girl that will be a good mother to your children. A girl that wants to be a mother. A girl that's going to be a good mother to your children. That is the kind of girl you need. Not the one that's just going to, you know, wants a big time in life, wants the parties, the dance halls, wants to just to make money, have the things that money can buy. Marry a girl that has a desire to be a mother, a good mother. And the Bible tells us that there's the privilege not only of being a mother, there's a privilege of being a joyful mother. God intends for mothers to be joyful mothers. And in order for a mother to be a joyful mother, she has to appreciate the privilege of being a mother. And her children bring joy to her heart. They bring joy to her heart when they live right. They bring joy to her heart when they serve God. They bring joy to her heart when they follow after Jesus Christ. The best, the greatest joy to a mother's heart is a child that loves God better than they love their mother. Did y'all hear me? I said the greatest blessing to a mother's heart is a child that loves Jesus better than they love their own mother. Because that child who loves Jesus better than they love earth's closest ties, disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, will bring joy to the heart of that godly mother. This is what we desire. We raise children. We train children. We direct them to Jesus. We want them to love Jesus supremely above everything in all of the world. We want them to love Jesus. And when our children love Jesus and they follow Jesus, they bring joy to the hearts of mothers when our children walk in obedience and walk in truth. I heard my wife this morning tell my son, he called to wish her a happy Mother's Day. And I heard her tell my son the words of the Apostle John in 3 John. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." This is the greatest joy of a godly mother. I hear that my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy than that, that children are walking in the truth. Every godly mother desires that. They want more than just respectable children. They want more than just children who stay out of jail. They want children who follow Jesus, who are committed to the Son of God, whose lives is marked by the image of Christ. This is the kind of children that brings joy to the hearts of godly mothers. They are followers of Jesus Christ. They love Jesus supremely above everything. This makes a joyful mother of children. And you know, this psalm ends like this. "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." Mothers, if God has blessed you to be a mother, and He's blessed you with children that love God, praise ye the Lord. This is a blessing from God. And we don't want to forget those blessings that God has given to us. And bless the name of the Lord. Praise God. We sang that song this morning, Tell Mother I'll Be There, in answer to her prayer. I couldn't help but think about you, Joseph. I just couldn't help but think about you. How God turned him around right after his mother died. My, Joseph, I'll let you give your testimony. Maybe you ought to just stand up and tell how the Lord saved you. Praise God. Can you do it? Can't do it? Well, I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Joseph had taken a wrong turn in life. We was all worried about him. All of us were worried about him, praying for him. And Sister Kelly took sick and died just suddenly, shockingly. And Joseph testified here the other night that he developed this hard heart and self-sufficient spirit and felt like he could go through anything. And maybe a day or two after his mother passed, upstairs in his bedroom, all of a sudden conviction fell on him. He fell on his knees and began to cry out to God. And God wonderfully saved his soul and turned his life around. I noticed it at the funeral. I didn't know what had happened, but I noticed it at the funeral. When after, we know we had a church service. Dwayne come told me, he said, my mama didn't want a funeral. She wanted a church service. I want a Sunday morning service. So, all right, that's what we'll do. And that's what we did. We had a Sunday morning service at that funeral. We had congregational singing and choir singing and special singing and prayer and preaching. And it was wonderful. I mean, the presence of God was there. Glory of God was in the house. House packed full. Glory of God in the house. People shouting and praising God. It was marvelous. Wonderful. The presence of God. And after that funeral, at the graveside, Joseph come up to me and he said, Brother Prescott, he said, I know you're not supposed to do this maybe, but he said, I enjoyed that funeral. He said, the presence of God was there. People were shouting, raising their hands. He said, I even got my hand up a little bit. I ain't like Joseph. We went on out toward the church. And Joseph talked to him and he said, Brother Bill, he said, if you see my mama, you tell her, I'm coming. I'm coming. Then he told me a little later, he said, Brother Bill, if you see my mama, you tell her I'm coming. She didn't know that when she left here, but you tell her, I'm coming. Ooh, hallelujah. Tell mama I'll be there. In answer to her prayers, this message to my mother, I want you to bear. Tell mother I'll be there. I want to tell you, brother, Sister Kelly died not knowing that prayer was going to be answered. I believe she knows it now, Joseph. I believe she knows it. But your prayers are not in vain, mama. You hear me? I said your prayers are not in vain. They live on after you've gone. Oh, yeah. I've seen it happen many, many times that mama's prayers were answered after she'd already gone to heaven. But her prayers lived on. And they reached those children and got a hold of their hearts and brought them into the kingdom of God. Jesus hears your prayers, mama. So keep on praying. God makes us a joyful mother of children. Now there may be somebody here in this service this morning that mama's been praying for you. And you need to get saved. And you need to get saved today because today is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time. And Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning and we're going to give an altar call. We're going to give an altar call for anybody in this service. Maybe a mama that's lost. Maybe a daughter that's lost. Maybe a son that's lost. Maybe a dad that's lost. It don't matter who you are. Jesus wants to save you this morning. Jesus died to save you. And He wants you to be a child of God. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad Jesus said, whosoever. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. That means you, my friend. Jesus wants you to be saved. Let's stand together. Altars are open. If you're lost without Jesus, if you'll just come down to this altar, kneel at this altar. Jesus will save you today. It's not the will of God that you perish. It's the will of God that you be saved. Will you come now? Will you give Jesus your heart? Some of you here, I know Mama's prayers are following you. You need the Lord. Will you come? Will you come now? Give your heart to Jesus. Is there another? Would you come? Would you give your heart to Jesus? Saving souls around here, one right after another. And he's after souls this morning in this house. God wants to save somebody today. And we might say, well, I'll get it done. I plan to get it done. I aim to get saved somewhere down the road. But what are we waiting on? Why put it off? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Multitude of souls are in hell this morning. They aimed to get saved, but they kept putting it off till this happens and that happens and the other happens. And the devil slipped them into eternity, planning to get right with God. What about you, my friend? Waiting just another moment. There are people in the altar praying. Will you join them? Will you come? Will you give your heart to Jesus? Mamas, you got children that's lost? Who's going to reach them? I tell you who's going to reach them. Jesus is the one that's going to reach them. Would you come tell Jesus about it? Let's believe God. Oh, let's believe God. Come on to this altar, saints. Let's seek the Lord this morning. Souls are depending upon our prayers. Let's call on the name of Jesus.